So we're going to continue on in our series talking about giants. A little girl who lived in a small town graduates from high school and she moves clear across the country to a big city to go to university. She lived in a small town all her life. All her friends, everybody she knows is there. After being in the big city for a few weeks, she's eagerly looking in the mailbox, checking her email and checking her texts to see if there's anything from family or friends. But there is none. An elderly man sits in a chair in the room that has now become his home. He has reduced his lifetime of possessions that each thing had carried a memory, and now he's just got a select few things, and he's got them arranged around his room, and he sits in his room and looks out his window, hoping to see a familiar car pull into a parking lot. A little girl on a teeter-totter in the park all alone, wondering, where is everybody? The music group Three Dog Night in 1969 played a song called One, which is better known by its first line, which is, "One is the loneliest number." Mother Teresa stated, "Loneliness is the most terrible poverty." But how can that be? I mean, our world's population grows exponentially day after day. I mean, there's over 7.8 billion people in the world. You would think that loneliness would be dying out with all those people. How could we be lonely? The truth is, the exact opposite is happening. Do you know that the word loneliness wasn't even in any major dictionary until after the Second World War? I mean, people were lonely before the Second World War, but now loneliness has become the ever-present giant in our society. Loneliness is a feeling of personal isolation in a busy and crowded world. We can be alone and not lonely, but we can be surrounded by many people, in a crowd of people, and be lonely. I remember when we were in Bible college and I was working on a bus ministry Kathy and I went to Abbotsford Pentecostal Church for a while, and there was hundreds of people there at the service. And I was out on the bus and Kathy was in the midst of these hundreds of people. She went to a Sunday school class that had 60, 70 people in it, and she would be in tears. She was so lonely because we'd moved from our familiar surroundings. We can be in a crowd and still be lonely. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary describes loneliness as a state of sadness that comes from feeling alone, isolated, and cut off from others. So you can see, in the middle of a crowd, you can still feel isolated, you can still feel cut off. We read that David experienced loneliness. We read in Psalm 25, verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." I think social media is a good indicator of how lonely people are. I mean, they try to connect with others through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and I know there's a whole host of other things out there that I don't even know, but they're all trying to connect. I mean, they post everything. You know, I just woke up and I did this and I had breakfast and I brushed my teeth and this is what I'm wearing today and this is what I'm going to do. And why are they posting all that? I think because, for the most part, they're lonely. And they just want to feel connected to somebody. And then there's commercials, such as beer commercials. Have you ever noticed that on a beer commercial, there's always lots of people? They're always laughing. They're having fun. It just looks like a great place to be. And there's other commercials as well. I think there's a cheese commercial where there's a big party going on and everybody's having a bit of the cheese. And really what the retailer's saying is, you know, buy our products and you won't be lonely. That's what they're trying to convince the people. Why would they want to convince the people of that? Because there's lots of loneliness around. And also there are the dating and friendship apps and websites which are trying to connect people. Quite a number of years ago, probably 30 years ago or so, Chuck Swindoll mentioned about an ad in Kansas newspaper. It read, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5. Swindoll said, you would think that was just a joke, a hoax, but it wasn't. The person was serious. Did anybody call? Well, it wasn't long before the person was getting 10 to 20 calls a day, paying $5 for half an hour for somebody to listen to them. See, the pain of loneliness was so sharp that some were willing to try anything for half an hour of companionship. These things and others, I believe, are all indicators how big the giant of loneliness is in our world today and in our society. Why can the giant of loneliness get into our lives and cause so much pain? Well, anyone of us in any situation can become lonely because we have been created to have relationship with God and with others. We become especially vulnerable when we encounter rejection or experience a significant loss in life. There are many reasons we can feel lonely. There's not one person here that will escape feeling lonely from one time or another. Loneliness can come from a loss of a job, a loved one, or a friend. Loss might be a big move. I was thinking of Dave and Lori as they've been here and fellowshipped with us for the past 2.5 years probably it's been. And they've been here every single Sunday and they have so many friends in the community. And this morning they wake up in Williams Lake in a new place, missing their family. They could be really lonely. They could go to church this morning in a big church and still feel lonely because it's a different place. It's a big move. Another reason for loneliness is that of serious illness. When we face illness or affliction, we can feel that no one else in the world is really suffering the way we are. We can feel that we're left alone by life, by others, and by even sometimes God. The writer of Ecclesiastes states that we might be at the top of the company. We might be the CEO. We might be in the spotlight of everything that's going on. We might have people around us, surrounded by people, and we're still lonely. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4:8. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end of his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. And so we see a man who's got it all. He's making it, but he's lonely. And as far as he's concerned, everything's just worthless. There are people like Queen Victoria, Elvis Presley, Janis Joplin, who all expressed being lonely in their lives. At the top of their game, and they express just being lonely. H.G. Wells, a noted British scientist, historian, lecturer, and author, considered by many to be the greatest intellect of the 20th century, simply stated before he died, "I am lonely." Also, Albert Einstein once said, "It's strange to be so universally known and yet to be so lonely." There's some truth to the statement. It can be lonely at the top. Loneliness can come from these things and many more, such as being elderly, single, having failed at something, and the list can go on. All these things can make us feel isolated, unwanted, unneeded. We might experience loneliness by the feeling of just isolation in the middle of a crowd. The giant of loneliness can drain us, can drain the life out of us. We feel emotionally and physically weak. Loneliness can cause physical health issues as well, such as high blood pressure, depression, headaches, erratic sleep habits, and a number of other health problems. And on top of this, we might have a distorted view of things, and we might get drawn into addiction of alcohol, drugs, prescription or non-prescription, of eating disorders. Either we eat too much because we're lonely and we have nothing to do, so we start eating too much, or we don't eat enough. We sort of starve ourselves. David felt rejected by those around him, and he wrote how it affected him in Psalm 31, verses 9 to 12. You can hear the pain here. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am dreaded, a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I'm forgotten by them, though as though I am dead, were dead. I have become like broken pottery." We notice that David is saying that the loneliness that's affected him is affecting the whole person, the soul and the body. In fact, he feels so rejected, so isolated. I mean, he's a king. He's got people around him. Even when he wasn't a king, he still had people around him all the time. But he feels so rejected that he feels like a piece of pottery. And I thought, what are you trying to say there? A piece of broken pottery. What would you do with a piece of broken pottery? What good is a piece of broken pottery? If you've got a nice vase and you break it, and you've got a chunk of it, what good is it? It's only good for one thing, and that's to throw away. It's useless. And that's exactly how David felt, that he might as well be just discarded. Now, I think the biggest thing for victory over the giant of loneliness here is to know that God doesn't believe that we should be alone. He doesn't believe. He created us so we would not be alone. In Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 18, we read, "For the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone." God created Adam, and he created all the other animals and everything else. And as he looked at Adam, he went, "It's not good for man to be alone." Not. He believes that. To defeat the giant of loneliness, we first must come to Jesus. He is the answer here. And I know there's some that would say, that's way too simplistic of an answer. That's way too easy. Jesus is the answer. Yet, our first basic need in life, our most basic need in life, is the need to be loved. And Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the world. That's why we took communion. Because he loved the world so much, he gave his one and only son, and Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. He loved us so much. So others say, that's right, but I need somebody who's real. Well, I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is real. He is real. He's the real thing. Coke isn't the real thing. Jesus is the real thing. He is the one that we need when the moment of loneliness, when that giant attacks us. In fact, I need somebody right now. When that giant of loneliness comes in and tries to get me down, I need somebody right now. I need to call on somebody that's there right now. And I think that's why Jesus is the answer. Because in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the writer quotes Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 of the Old Testament, which says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." See, God is with us all the time. Jesus is there all the time. In fact, he's closer than anyone else to us. Because Jesus is where? He lives inside us. He's with us 24/7. I think that's why Jesus said he knew that God was that God's the answer, and that Jesus is the answer. And Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 32, "You will leave me all alone," talking to his disciples. "You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." See, that's the key to have God, to have Jesus with us, knowing that he is with us no matter where we are, what time of day it is, 24/7, he's there. There might be no one around. Or we might be in a crowd of people feeling unconnected and feel so isolated and go, "There's nobody. I'm all alone." But that's not true, because Jesus is with us. The Father allows those feelings to enter into our lives, I believe, with the intention that we will turn our hearts towards him and recognize that he is with us. When we get those lonely feelings, he doesn't want us to run to other things, but first and foremost, he wants us to run to him and recognize that he's right there with us. Someone said, "We need to rest in who is there with us rather than regret who is not." We need to rest in the fact that Jesus is there with us all the time, rather than regretting that my friend couldn't be there at that point of time. Sometimes we might think that because Jesus is God, that he doesn't really understand our loneliness. I mean, how could Jesus really understand our loneliness? Well, Jesus was God, but he was fully human as well. And he can understand our loneliness. See, when Jesus was on earth, he was fully human. And as he hung on that cross for our sins, he felt and knew the giant of loneliness. He felt rejected by man and rejected by God, for he even cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows what it is to feel the loneliness, to feel all alone, yet he also knows, as we read just earlier, that he's not alone, for the Father is with him. Jesus is closer than anyone else to us. He loves us. He understands what we are going through. He understands the giant of loneliness, and he's there for us. We mentioned earlier that the giant of loneliness comes, when the giant of loneliness comes, it can make us feel unneeded and unwanted. Do you remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector, that Luke writes about in chapter 19 of Luke? He writes about Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus being a tax collector, He didn't have any friends. He was probably a lonely guy. And to compound that, he was a small little guy. And he'd heard that Jesus was coming through the streets. And he wanted to go see Jesus. But we don't hear him going to see Jesus with his friends. He doesn't gather a bunch of other tax collectors even and say, "Hey, come on, let's go see Jesus." He goes all alone. And what does he do? He climbs up a tree because he's small and he can't see over the crowd. So he feels sort of rejected. He's all alone, rejected. He climbs up a tree. And Jesus comes by. And can you just imagine what happens when Zacchaeus is giant of loneliness? He's just got all this loneliness and the giant's just trying to squeeze it out of him. When Jesus stops under the tree that Zacchaeus has climbed and he looks up to Zacchaeus and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Can you imagine? You're up in the tree, if you can get up there. And Jesus stops and he looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus." What's Zacchaeus' first thought? "He knows my name. He knows me by name." And then he says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down." So Zacchaeus probably thought, "He wants me. He knows me and he wants me." But it doesn't stop there because he says, "I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus probably thought, "He knows my name, he wants me, and he needs me." And where's the giant of loneliness now? There is no giant of loneliness now. The giant of loneliness is defeated. I'm known, I'm wanted, and I'm needed. Wow. The giant of loneliness was destroyed. Jesus knows our name. He knows all about us. There are many places in the Bible where the Bible talks about God knowing us. He knows us so intimately. That should defeat the giant of loneliness right there. But Jesus also wants us. He wants us to be with him. In fact, he wants us to be more than just with him. He wants us to be right there, like side by side. He wants to live in us. But it just doesn't end there. It's more than that. He wants us to be with him for eternity. I mean, in John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 4, it says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me." Like, that's how much he wants us. Like, it's not a matter of, "Well, Scott, maybe if you're good, you know, maybe." It's no. "I've gone to prepare a place, and I'm coming back for you at just the right time." He wants us. And Jesus needs us. He needs each one of us. We're part of his kingdom. We are his hands extended. He needs us to love and to serve others. Jesus wants to work through us. He needs us to extend out to others in a caring for others. Maybe by visiting somebody. Maybe by driving somebody somewhere that doesn't have a drive to get there. Maybe volunteering at the Equality Project or Soups On, or maybe mentoring somebody or just volunteering somebody. You know, this church was used by God yesterday. You folks were used. You were his hands extended at Andrea's service. You were there to reach out to those who came, to reach out to Larry and to others. You were there. Thank you so much. You cooked and you served and you loved and you did it all. And that's what Jesus needs us. Jesus wants us to share with our neighbors. Jesus wants us to be there for the cashier. I'm going to use this story, and I hope it's okay, Larry. An illustration that LeClaire shared at the service yesterday. It was so amazing. It was so amazing. She shared about how she would go shopping with Andrea. And Andrea, when they got to the cashier, she said, "You know what? Cashiers get dumped on time and time and time again. They get all the blunt, even for the junk that's not even theirs." But Andrea's thought was, "We're not going to dump on the cashier. We're going to pour out joy and love on the cashier. We're going to get her so laughing and just having a good time." That's what it's all about. That's being a Christian in the world. That's just lifting others up, edifying others, making others feel good, knowing that they're appreciated. As we serve others, the focus is taken off the giant of loneliness and placed on the blessing of others. Isn't that what it's all about? What do we say about Crossroads? We're people-centered or Christ-centered, people-centered. Isn't that it? We're focused on Jesus first and others second. That's what we are all about. And when we do that, the giant of loneliness cannot defeat us. I've seen people who've been lonely and gotten into serving others, ministry. Maybe it's just driving, or maybe it's just talking to them or whatever, but the focus comes off the loneliness and onto others. Jesus needs to be first place because we are created for fellowship. We're created not to be alone. When we couple knowing and resting in Jesus with serving others, we move out of isolation. Whether we are by ourselves or in a crowd, doesn't matter, because we're no longer in isolation. We realize that we are truly loved and never alone, and the giant of loneliness will fall to defeat. Because Jesus is with us all the time. And if we allow him to use us to serve others, the giant of loneliness can't win. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I know the giant of loneliness rears its ugly head from time to time in our lives. And I know even the first half of the message, as I was sharing, I thought, this is a little depressing. But the truth is, it's not depressing at all, because we don't have to go through all that stuff. We can just rest and assure that we are yours. You are with us. We are never alone. And Father, we can serve others for the kingdom of God, that others might see your greatness, your goodness, your joy, that we're not all about depression, but we're about the joy of the Holy Spirit. We're about your goodness. Thank you, Father, for all you do. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.